You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Well, last time I ministered to you on a Wednesday night, we talked about halaling, crazy praise. Y'all remember our little monkey friend? And so whenever I need to get my praise on, I start thinking about our little monkey friend, our little gorilla. And how he prays. I've done it in here before in the mornings when I'm walking and I'm praying and everything. So just wanted to share something with you tonight regarding all of that and halaling. And a few weeks ago at noon prayer, we have noon prayer every Wednesday. And during that time, I was leading prayer at the time. And while I was praying, something came up in my heart. It was a little disturbing, and so it just kind of, you know, pulled me out of the spirit just a little bit, and so I had to refocus and get back in there, and so took authority over some things, and it was something, you know, that was trying to affect our church, and so I went ahead, took authority over, and then went on to some other things. So when I went back to my office after prayer, I went to sit down in my chair, and the thought of that came back up again. And I just felt like it in my heart that I didn't get it done. You know, I just kind of touched it a little bit in prayer, but it wasn't done yet. And so I called Deanna in my office and just, you know, told her what was happening and that we needed to, you know, at least help me get satisfied that I got it out. And so we started praying, and we weren't like 2 or 3 minutes in, and we both got to laughing like crazy. And just out of nowhere. And so at first it was kind of weird because it seemed like a situation we needed to exercise authority over and be militant and, you know, that kind of thing. But all we could do was laugh. And so for 20, 30 minutes in my office, we were laughing. I mean, side splitting, you know, this kind of hurting and, you know, your eyes were running water and your jaws hurting, this kind of thing. And, you know, and all of that. And so, at some point it kind of waned just a little bit, and we looked at one another and we're trying to see if we look like raccoons with our mascara on, you know, that kind of thing. Then we got to laughing all over again. And so I asked her, I said, Deanna, did you get anything? And she said that when I've been driving home lately, I've been praying in tongues, and the Lord, when I hear myself praying out, is more ha-ha. And so when she said that, I heard these words inside here, not an audible voice, just inside of here. Joy is your weapon. Joy is your weapon. And so we got to laughing all over again in the office there. And so we didn't realize how loud we were, I don't think. And so the rest of the staff heard us laughing. And so did Pastor. And so he had gone to get lunch, and I thought he was still at lunch. And so I walked around to the office, and I was talking to Bethany, and she said, well, sounds like y'all had a good time in your office. And I said, yeah, thank God Pastor's not here. And she said, oh, no, he heard you. And I went, oh, dear, so I'm sneaking back in my office, you know. And so as soon as I get to my desk, who's standing in my door? Do I pay you to laugh? And I said, uh-huh. So joy as our weapon. And if you remember in the prophecy that the Lord gave us through Pastor Mark in December 2017, he says some things to us. But what seems to be standing out to me is he said that this is a day of much rejoicing. For it is an hour, and it is a day of great rejoicing. It is a great rejoicing day, as the harvest surely is plenteous. And that harvest can be almost anything that he's doing in our life. You know, he's a way maker. We just sang about that. What is he making a way for? Whatever harvest that you're believing him for. It could be, you know, a lost child who's not serving God, coming back home. The prodigals, we prayed for them today. The prodigals would come home. That they will be, you know, wherever they are, all of a sudden come to themselves and they want to go home. Amen. It could be in your finances. It could be in your body. It could be any number of things that you're believing God for this year. So the harvest surely is plenteous. So the last time I talked to you about halal, and this is Miss Mary here. Whenever she does the offering, she has us do three strong hallelujahs. And the root word of hallelujah is halal. And that word means to clear, to be clear, to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. Being actively grateful, to act as it, as an act of worship, thankfulness, giving of thanks, and it means the highest praise. To shout, to be radical, to animate, to breathe spirit, mind, and courage, to act clamorously foolish. So in the saturation service for July, just a few weeks ago, Pastor Mark said that the Lord told him that there's not enough rejoicing coming up from here. It reminded me of a few years ago when we were at our old building that the Lord had talked to us about that in that particular year, I don't remember what year it was now, that he was coming for our words. And he said he found them lacking. And so when I was studying this, it reminded me of that, that he's saying that there's not enough rejoicing coming up from here. He's finding us lacking in the rejoicing part. Well, our part in the saturation, I think with this song in particular, we made up some deficit for that for sure. Hallelujah. And we'll see if we can get some more done tonight. All right. Hallelujah. I looked at this scripture the last time I ministered as well. Colossians 4:2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so we're praying and we're believing God for stuff, but he says also not just to continue in prayer, but also continue in thanksgiving. And I would submit to you in our praise, in our joy, in our worshiping him, continue in those things. And so we don't want him to find us lacking in that part. And so we're going to get that taken care of. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And this is the account of David. He and his mighty men were out to war. And so his wives and children were at Ziklag. And so the Amalekites came out against them and basically burned the city down. Took the wives, took the children, the sons and the daughters, took all of their spoil, everything. And they had no way of knowing where they went, what happened to them, if they were dead, not dead. And so all of David's mighty men, they began to weep and cry. And it says they wept until they had no more strength in them to weep. And so when they didn't have any more strength to weep, evidently they had enough strength to want to stone David. And so you're our leader and you had us off to war. When this happened, we weren't here protecting the house. And so you took us off to war, so we're going to get you. And so David, see, you know, like Pastor Mark, Robert was talking about on Sunday morning, that Ted looked like a pork chop or he looked like a cheeseburger, you know. He looked like the enemy and they were going to kill him. And so it says here, David was greatly, verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened, the New King James says, the King James says, encouraged himself in the Lord. And that word encouraged there means to strengthen, prevail, harden, be strong, become strong, be courageous, be firm, be resolute, be sore, to grow strong, to press, be urgent, to grow stout. Said they had no more strength. They had to grow to be stout, restore strength, encourage, and to withstand, to hold strongly in the Lord. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. His posse, those guys he hung out with that were in debt, discouraged, and in distress, that were in the cave of Adullam with him, wanted to stone him. Anybody come against you? Hallelujah. You invested in them. You put things in their lives. You raised them up. And, you know, and even with these guys, I mean, they were the ones that helped fund Solomon's temple. So they had money. So him having them in that sabbatical in that cave, they learned how to believe God. So what he invested in them, now they want to kill him. And David finds himself all by himself. Anybody? And David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I was looking at this psalm, and this is one of David's psalms, Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Can you imagine? He penned this. Do you think when he found out that his wives were gone, his children were gone, everything he had worked hard for was gone, that he felt like blessing the Lord at all times? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. That's one of the definitions of hallowing. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now, we can't make God any bigger than what he is, because God is big all by himself. And so we can't make him bigger, but the perspective of the way that we're seeing him can get bigger. You ever had one of those little magnifying glass and you look down at an ant? My brothers used to burn them, you know, do the sun and burn them with it. But I know. Welcome to growing up with brothers. And but when you're looking at it, it's a tiny, tiny little ant. But when you put that magnifying glass, the perspective from what you're looking for makes that ant bigger. And what we do with our praise continually in our mouth, you know, maybe God, when you're going through something, you're going, God, where are you? Are you there? Can you hear me? Do you care? But when we start praising him and worshiping him for who he is, he gets bigger in our sight. He's already big, but we got to get ourselves to a place where we see him as big as he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. So David is saying, I bless the Lord at all times, in good times, in bad times, in the, you know, the worst times. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And without grumbling, complaining, David, because he was out doing God's business. And his family's gone. And he doesn't know whether they're dead or alive. And he begins praising God. Praise is the language of faith. Hallelujah. When we can say what we see, but instead of saying what we see and what we're experiencing, we give honor and praise to him. And start magnifying him. In Acts chapter 4, you know, the Romans were coming against the children of Israel at the time. And so they were hiding out in their home and all of that. And they said, they didn't go, God, they're trying to kill us down here. Will you look at all of our enemies? They begin to magnify God and talk about who you're, the one who put the stars and the heavens in place. Start magnifying him and talk about how big he is. You flung the stars into space. In Job, it talks about that he holds the earth, the universe in the span of his hand. Hallelujah. That's big. So if you think about from our perspective, we think things are big, you know, here. But if you start thinking about, okay, here we are in Madison, Alabama, and then we're in the state of Alabama, and then Alabama is in the United States, and the United States is in the world, but then out beyond that, there's the Milky Way, our universe, and out beyond that, and then we become, and everything we're going through becomes small compared to who he is. Amen. Solomon said, can he who the heavens and heavens of heavens cannot contain, put yourself in a little bitty body? So the heavens could not contain him, but he confined himself to a human body in Jesus. Amen. That's how big he is. So David said, come magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let's look down at verse 17 in 1 Samuel 30. And there were some things that went on that David was able to find out where the Amalekites had taken everyone. In verse 17, he says, then David attacked them from twilight until the evening. Dude is mad. I'm going to get y'all. Y'all took my family. You took my guys' families. I'm going to get you. And then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. So they're weeping where they have no more strength to weep, but they're whooping up on somebody for 2 days. Not a man of them escaped except for 400 young men who rode on camel. Let's get out of here because David is whooping up on folk. So we got to get out of here. So David recovered all because in his worshiping the Lord, he asked the Lord, should I pursue? The Lord said, pursue and you will recover all. And the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. So will you see what you can do when you encourage yourself in the Lord? David encouraged himself in the Lord so much so, because some of those definitions were make yourself strong, be courageous, be encouraged. So much so that he went out and whooped up on these guys and got everything back. Hallelujah. So strengthening ourselves and encouraging ourselves in the Lord when nobody else around you is there to worship with you. As I was reading this afternoon, a testimony of one of our members came up in my heart, and I asked them if they would be willing to share. So, where is she? Come on up here. Tammy is going to share briefly.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. It's amazing that God led her to that story of David, because that's the exact story that I stood on to come back to Madison. As most of you know, we're military family, and we were sent to Fort Drum, New York, not wanting to go at all. And we were there for about 3 to 4 months, and the Lord told us, he laid on our hearts to start believing to come back to Madison. And when he said that, the military basically told us we would be there for 4 years. It was impossible. There's no way you can come back. So I inquired of God, and I asked him, and he said in 1 Samuel 38, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake? And he answered him, he said, pursue, thou surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And that's exactly what I stood on. So I asked the Lord, and Michael as well, so I asked the Lord, how do I do this? How do we recover all? Because the army is saying no. There's no way we can go back to Madison. And Fort Drum was not the highest and the best for our family. And the Lord told me in Habakkuk 2:2, he said, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. Run that he may run, plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. And around that time, Pastor Mark had done quite a few prophecies. And it's actually almost 4 years to the day for these prophecies that we would literally make the kids and us read daily, because it was literally dry bones in Fort Drum, New York. There was no spirit-filled churches. We had to encourage ourselves. We literally had to have our own saturation meetings. We had to have our own praise and worship. We had to pray and lay hands over each other. It was dry bones, people. So what we would read, and sometimes the kids would read begrudgingly, but I'm glad that they did, because like I said, this was Pastor Mark on a Wednesday night 4 years ago, almost exactly to the date. It's that which you were about to give up on is not only possible, it's probable. For if you'll walk by faith and not by sight, if you'll look to me, the author and the finisher of your faith, I will surely bring it to pass. At last, the dreams, the visions, the desires I've placed in you, and so many it has brought frustration. But just like Joseph of old, his dream tried him. And your dream and your destiny has tried many of you. But this is a season of fulfillment. This is a season of favor, and this is a season of great reward. Only look up, look up, look up, for the gates, the doors, and the portals of heaven are open over you in this season, this hour that you've come unto. Yet not everyone... yet not everyone that has heard this of this will walk on through, but I've called you to come up higher, to come up hither, to sit down, and you'll surely see the salvation of all things. And it will come to pass that if you hearken diligently to my voice, and that you'll be a doer of my word, my work, and what I have spoken unto you, surely it shall come to pass at last, and there'll be great rejoicing in the congregation. So fighting with that recover all, that's exactly what the Lord has done for us. By faith, we purchased a home without military orders. We purchased that home that literally could have bankrupted us, but the Lord gave us an order, and we followed, and we were obedient. By faith, Michael would call the military and say, hey, I'm going to go back to Fort Drum, or to Redstone Arsenal, and they'd say, no, there's no job there. It's absolutely impossible for you to come back. And we kept pressing, we kept standing, we kept fighting. And somebody in here tonight, you've been told what you're believing for from God is impossible, but I'm here to tell you it's not impossible. All things are possible, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you look like, because I can tell you what dry bones feel like. But we stood on the word, and the word never changes. It never returns void. Michael has a job at Redstone Arsenal at the clinic. And they didn't have a job for him. They made a job for him. He is in charge of the clinic. And that's what my God does. He is the God of impossible. And he's the way maker.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, in walking through that with them, you know, I get text messages from her every now and then. And I'd say, praise break. And I'm sure she didn't like me a whole lot during that time, because she's like, you do not understand how dry it is here. And then I remember even Noah at one time getting the whole family and encouraging them to praise and worship God for what they were believing for. Amen. Hallelujah. They recovered all. They're here. Hallelujah. And even in that, the family came back. How long was it that you guys were here? It was 2 years that he was in. But how long was it that you guys came back to Huntsville and he was at Fort Campbell? He was at Fort Campbell for 2 years, and the family was here. And they moved back here in faith, believing that God was going to make a way. Make a way where there seems no way. He's the way maker. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Hallelujah. That's neat. I didn't know that they warred with that scripture, so that encourages me. So Acts 16, starting at verse 16, and this account is about Paul and Silas. And so they were ministering and going about talking about the Lord and ministering to people, and they had a certain slave girl that was possessed with a spirit of a divination. And she would follow them around. She was fortune-telling and all of that, and she followed them around, was crying out, you know, these are the servants of the Most High God, and who proclaim this way of salvation. And she did this for many days. And it says in verse 18, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. Paul got upset and said, quit it. And her master saw that their hope for profit was gone. And so what they did was they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. And so what they brought them before the magistrates, and these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs that are not lawful for us being Romans to receive or to observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And then they had many stripes on them, and they were thrown in prison. Now, to point this out, that the Jews had a law that there were you couldn't do more than 30 strikes on a body, because they thought that was too brutal. But the Romans didn't have that. So they continually beat them with rods. And having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25, but at midnight. Now that's a time in our day, midnight. But sometimes we get to a midnight in our life where things are dark. where you seem alone or you seem hopeless in your life. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. And what did it say in Colossians? Pray, continue in prayer and thanksgiving. And so it says here, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. And from the last time I taught, that word singing, that those two words there is the same word, halal. So they did crazy praise in the jail. So they were singing in hymns, praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So they said it loud enough so they could hear. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Now, I don't know that if I'm sitting in a jail and I just been beat and all of my clothes are ripped off and I'm chained by my feet to whatever, and I'm sitting in a dark place like that, that if I'm going to do crazy praise in jail. And so Paul and Silas, can you imagine them sitting down there? And then Silas go, hey, Paul, what you think about? And Paul's thinking, well, I just think about if they're going to kill us, we get to go to glory. So I started rejoicing. So he got rejoicing, maybe, about seeing Jesus. And then Silas said, well, I was thinking about the same thing. And, one of them maybe sings better than the other. Paul being the leader. Hey, Silas, why don't you start us out on a song? Why don't you start us out singing? And Silas starts singing. Paul joins in. And the rest of the prisoners heard them. And immediately, it says, the place started shaking. In their praise affected something. And not only did it shake the physical place where they was, the jailer and his family got saved. Amen. As a result of it. And as I was reading this, I'd never seen this before. Verse 29, 30. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out. And if you read the other verses, it talks about how he ministered to their wounds and everything, and that they prayed for his family. His family wasn't in the jail. So it looks like they got out and went back in. And I love this next part. Paul was a little ornery. And so it says the jailer rejoiced, but look at verse 35. And when it was day, the magistrate set the officer saying, loose those men, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to you to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace, meaning get out of my town. Go quietly. Don't make a ruckus on your way out. And Paul says, Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly. Uncondemned Romans. So they did not know that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. And have thrown us into prison. And now they want us to go out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. It reminded me of a story of Lester Sumrall. I don't know if you know who he is. He was a great teacher. He's a contemporary of Brother Hagin's, who we talk about all the time. But he was in another nation. I think it was Fiji. And he was asleep at night, and his bed started shaking. And so he woke up, and he looked over, and his bed started moving across the room, you know. He looked over, and it was Satan. And so he was like, oh, it's you. And he said, get out of here. And so he was getting out of bed to move his bed. And he said, and come back and put my bed back where it was. And his bed went back to where the original place that it was. He got back in bed and went to sleep. So I thought about that when Paul was doing this. He's like, they beat us openly in the open square, naked, and beat us and put us in. Tell them to come get us. And the officer told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. He still didn't go. He went to visit somebody on the way out of town. Probably went to get something to eat, some turnip with greens and cornbread, fried chicken. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. And he said, okay, I'm encouraged now, friend. I got my belly full, and I've been encouraged by the brethren. I can go now. So, hallelujah. So Paul, who wrote the book of Philippians, he and Silas in jail, their praise, their joy, their hallowing, their worshiping delivered them out of a deep, dark place. And not only that, it caused the man who was watching over them in jail, for him to bow down. He received the Lord, and his entire household received the Lord, and it said that they rejoiced as well. So not only does your hallowing and your praise affect you, but it affects the household of other people as well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, in everything. He's saying this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Under all circumstances, give thanks to God. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, there was several months ago, I was home. Had been out late and was home a little later in the morning. And, you know, and I was hallowing at home and, you know, had been in the Word, just felt real good spiritually and everything. And so I was going to get my morning caffeine on the way in. And so when I came out of the store, one of the patrons of the store said, your back tower looks like it's almost flat. And I went, oh, man. So all that hallowing, all of that just kind of went out the window. And so I'm mad now. I'm going, how dare you make my tire flat? And so so I call for the guy, you know, your service with your insurance and all that kind of stuff. And they're talking about it's going to be an hour to 2 hours for them to come. Then I called JC and Dion to come help me and, you know, all of this. And so they come. By the time they get there, the guy came and so switched the tires out. And so I went to Walmart. And so I'm getting there and at Walmart, and I'm mad. I'm going, I got things to do today. Da 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 da. I was like, urgh. So all that hallowing just seeped right on out. So I go to the desk and give them my keys and all of this kind of stuff. So they have a little waiting room there. And so when I walk in the waiting room, there's this little girl. She's less than 2 years old. She goes, yay! And she's looking at, she's sitting in her mom's lap, and she's trying to get out of her mom's lap to come to me. And she's going, yay! And so her mom was trying to hold on to her, you know. So I sit down, and she's trying to scoot out of her mom's lap and everything. So finally, her mom sat down on the floor in front of me. And so this little girl walked over to me and grabbed my hands and started doing this. And she goes, and she started laughing. I mean, she was just going after it. I mean, how can you stay upset with that? And so, Lord, the Lord sent me this little girl to help me get back in joy. And right there, I mean, and so finally her mom just let her come to me, and we got to talking and everything, and we're all church folk and, you know, Christians and all of that. And so their car got ready first before mine. And they were getting ready to go. And so they're packing up everything. And she's doing this to me. She doesn't want to go with them. I said, no, baby, you got to go with your mom and dad. You know, and her mom, she's reaching out to me. Her mom let her hug me on the way out. I mean, it was so sweet. And I sat there as they were leaving and stuff. I went, God, thank you so much. That was so sweet of you. And I apologize for being grumpy. But it just took something little to cause you to get out of joy and lose your joy. What does James say? James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you come into divers temptation. I wasn't doing it that day, so he had to bring a little girl out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. He's perfected praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to one more. Glory to God. So your praise will deliver you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Paul and Silas, their praise brought them out, brought them deliverance. And let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And y'all probably know where I'm going. And this is the story of Jehoshaphat. And they've got all these armies coming against them. They have the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Mount Seirites, all the ites are coming against them, three armies. And so Jehoshaphat, I think, hey, we got all these people coming after her. I think we ought to pray. And so it says it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are, that word, Hazadon, Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I would too. And proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And so Judah gathered together to ask help of the Lord, and all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of the Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, he went to church, and said, O Lord, again, not magnifying the problem, the enemies that are coming against them. O Lord, our God, the God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not, what is he doing? Rolling his shoulders back, going, this is my God. This is who my God is. Your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. If he wasn't doing anything else, he was convincing himself who God is and that he's on my side. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? This is our land. That's what he's declaring. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before the temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon. So then he addresses the enemy with God. He's not like, God, look down here, see all these people coming against us. What are you going to do about it? He starts magnifying the Lord and who the Lord is in their life and how big he is to them and what he's done, rehearsing the victories that God had done in their lives beforehand. Amen. Sometimes we have to rehearse what he brought us through. The financial victories he brought you through. The health victories he brought you through. Start remembering. Sometimes when we get in fear, it's because we've forgotten who he is and what he's done for us. So Jehoshaphat said to them, we need to start remembering who God is. And then he addresses the enemy. He's not down here going, God, look at the enemy, how big they are. He's up here from his perspective, sitting next to God going, God, look, the enemy, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and all of this. He's looking at how small they are. The more he starts magnifying God, the bigger God gets in his sight. And how small the enemy becomes. Amen? And that's the way we need to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm getting by to preach myself happy. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are. Rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you gave us as our inheritance. They're trying to throw us out of, is what he's saying. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. You ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do? You got multitude of things coming, the pileup effect that Pastor talks about. So many things coming at you from all sides, coming against you, and you don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Hallelujah. Our eyes are on you. And then now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, they got the whole family together, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Him, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude." But what is he saying to us? Don't you be afraid of all these things, for the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Hallelujah. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel, and with voices loud and high. And they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness to Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, the praise and worship team, and who stood praise the beauty of holiness, who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So my enemy is my enemy. So the friend of my enemy, however that works. But anyway, we're enemies. We're going to kill them. And they went, "Well, who are you?" And then they killed each other. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, and precious jewelry, which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil, because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, that word, for they were blessed. Therefore, they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place is the valley of that name until this day. And they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments. Anyway, get the praise and worship team together. And the harps and the trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was upon all the kingdoms. Here you go. Those are those people that the people kill themselves over. Y'all don't mess with them. In those countries. And they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. And they went, don't mess with them. That's what the enemy has said to you, about you. Don't mess with them, because God is with them. Woohoo! For his God gave him rest all around. Praise and worship team, y'all come on, y'all come up. Now, Jehoshaphat Now, in the first instance we looked at, David was by himself and encouraged himself in the Lord. There was nobody there to help him. Paul and Silas was in jail. They had each other. And they began to worship and praise God in jail, help one another along, and deliverance came. And then in this is a congregation of people that were together, that were worshiping God, that belonged to God. And they were having a hard time. Multiple things were coming against them. And they said, we don't even know what to do, but we are looking to you. I don't know. When I was praying, I think it was Monday, regarding this service, and reading this passage, it was like I had a flash. And it was to, if you are one, and it could be all of us, I don't know, having multiple things coming against you where you don't even know what to do, and you need God to make a way for you, I want you to stand. These are your brothers and sisters in the Lord, those of us that are still sitting. These are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And they need God to make a way for them. You know, I think it was in Mark, where Jesus was teaching in a house, and he looked up, and the roof was coming off. And there were five guys up there, four guys carrying a man on a bed, and they lowered him down in the meeting. And Pastor calls them his crazy friends. And so you look around, you're going to be a crazy friend for somebody tonight. Hallelujah. You're going to rejoice with someone who needs the enemy to be still, for them not to fight their own battle, that the battle is the Lord's. Amen?
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.